Good afternoon. Today is Monday, March the 2nd, 62nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, pitch hitting for the big guy. We've got Captain Watson from the Eureka Police Department. Hey, Steve.
Good afternoon.
Boy, you're wearing everything except for the tie today. What, you had, like, have a photo op or something?
No, I wanted to make sure I was impressed.
Okay.
Because everyone out there in Radio Land can see us.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And apparently you must have got the short straw. You're driving the Merle car.
Yes.
What's that about?
Sometimes you just got to make do with what you got. Something new's coming.
There you go. You get the copter. Very cool. We'll talk about that and other stuff when we come back.
Best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:12. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Steve Watson. But before we do, our quote, brought in by the captain. Okay, find your best. You got a whole page there, man.
Well, again, I mean, do we want to go intellectual or
No, humorous? Yes, all the time.
Well, you know, Theodore Roosevelt said, if you could kick the person in the pants responsible for most of your trouble, you wouldn't sit for a month.
That works. You're not implying anything by that, are you?
Yes, I am, Brian.
Good. Well, as long as we know where we stand, we're all okay. So are you comfortable with the new assignments and the organizational structure? Is it starting to be normal now?
You know, I'd say the organizational structure, yes, it's common sense, makes sense. I like it. I'm still getting used to my job as a captain and trying to keep up with one of the most charismatic individuals I know in Chief Mills.
But,
it's good times.
I thought you had a chance to compliment here and you just...
I wasted it.
You blew it entirely. Yeah, yeah.
That this is live. I can't rewind.
Yeah, you're just dead. Yeah. I would think it's really kind of interesting. Now, this is me projecting in, but... Because you're able to deal with the businesses and the business districts, that's more efficient. Because you kind of, there are tendencies and trends that those areas have, as contrasted to having a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of over here. And is it making it simpler to do the day-to-day tasks?
Well, you know, certainly you have predominantly your neighborhoods in one service area. Your commercial district, with the exception of Henderson Center and one or two others in service area one, which I supervise. It does kind of make the process a little bit simpler, but I think more than anything, it's people having a single point of contact to come to with their concerns. So they know to go to Captain Stevens if it's an issue happening in his service area. They know to come to me if it's an ongoing issue in their service area. And it kind of puts a face, well, to the problem, so to speak.
Yeesh.
I don't necessarily like being connected to some of the problems, but you know,
so
we're more available.
Well, but I would think that there are some tricks of the trade, so to speak. If you're always working, let's say, you have the fun behind Bayshore Mall and the homeless camps, okay? Pretty soon, you're going to become an expert in
homeless issues.
Having to deal with that. Rather than, okay, this is something, and you've got five or six other things, and the timeline for efficiency, instead of being compressed, is elongated out. And now it takes you 3 or 4 years before you have that same knowledge base to be able to come off of. And it wouldn't be as contemporaneous as what this is, or if it's break-ins in warehouse districts, or whatever it might happen to be. You kind of start to specialize a little bit.
That's true, and we're responsible for knowing what's the problems and the issues that are going on in our service areas. And, the business district, it tends to attract a certain type of crime. And certainly the city's homeless problems are centered in the commercial district for the most part. And so, yes, I mean, it's a sink or swim. But, you know, you begin to become more aware of those issues and put more thought towards different solutions and the ways to begin to address those problems.
Now, there was a big push a couple years ago about computer-related theft, crime, that kind of stuff. Since most of those are business-related, do you have that under your area of responsibility, or is it more of a geographic, and if a call comes in from this corner instead of that corner, you get it versus somebody else?
Well, it's interesting, the explosion of the internet and the exponential increase in technology has really started to erase geographical boundaries when it comes to computer-related crime and identity theft. And so literally, our suspects could be located over there in the Ukraine or somewhere on the other side of the world.
Don't have a beat on that one, do you?
No, I don't think the boss will authorize a plane ticket over there to... I've heard that Tahiti has quite a problem.
Outrageous, the high frequency, yes.
Yes, so I may need to go there to investigate this problem.
You realize how long you'd be stuck in the chair in the airplane to go to Tahiti?
Or maybe that was a bad
location. Yeah, I think location. It blew. Another wasted opportunity.
Well, it just goes to show how often I actually have been able to get out of here. I don't even know where the good vacation destinations are.
Oh, gee. But you know where all the gyms are in the schools, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. That's not a reflection of my job as much as having five children.
Yeah, exactly. So computer crime is kind of a different critter unto itself. Is there a special division for that, or is that kind of just lumped on top of everybody's responsibility?
Well, in a department the size of the Eureka Police Department, that becomes more of a generalist area, even though it is a special skill set. But our investigations unit would do any of the substantial follow-up, and they do have someone at the district attorney's office that has some expertise. Your average patrol officer is not going to have the time or the training to go into a multinational investigation on identity theft or certain computer crimes.
The telephone call scams that come through, is that, I mean, it seems like there's enough things that are across the board that it really wouldn't be assigned to either you or to Brian. It would be somebody else.
Yeah, those type of crimes definitely wouldn't be something that would directly fall on our plate. You know, and again, often our role is education for the public in issues like these fraud type of cases. You know, someone calling saying that they're the grandson, of a grandmother, and they're
stranded in Tahiti.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
They need $3,000 or they're not going to get out of jail for the next 10 years.
Can't leave the island until I get, oh, darn. Yeah, we send it by Pony Express. The pony's swimming right now. Have some fun there, man. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. Yeah, we'll get a little, maybe we won't get too much more serious, but we'll have some more fun when we come back.
Hey, Faith, you want to hang out?
Not now. I'm filling out my FAFSA.
Your what?
It's that application for student aid, and it's my ticket to getting funding for the tech training I'm going for. Having a FAFSA on file is the gateway to getting a ton of other aid. Remember Steve? He didn't qualify for federal aid, but because he had a FAFSA on file, he got thousands of dollars from the university he went to.
Have you got more copies?
Go to decadeofdifference.org for the workshop schedule, but hurry up. The deadline's March 2nd.
It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Steve Watson from EPD. Steve, the Blue Heron situation, I guess, is symbolic. I won't use a big word. I'll just stay small here myself, not for your benefit.
I'd prefer if you keep them small.
Yeah.
I haven't had my afternoon coffee.
Yeah. It seems to be... Well, there have been a couple hotels, the Triangle.
A little before my time, but infamous.
But you're familiar enough with it. We had the one out here at the north end of town as you came in that was also had converted over the years into various types of things. How many of those types of structures, whether they're residents or whether they're hotel, motel, that kind of stuff, would you guess are in Eureka that are kind of in the same situation?
Well, you know, there's close to a dozen that are at risk, and some of these, you know, are potentially nationally known chains. But in terms of the core group, more comparable to the Blue Heron, maybe around four or five, including the Blue Heron.
So as you saw what happened with that, is that a long-term process that it takes an extended period of time before it gets to the point where nothing is going to be done and the place gets shuttered?
Well, I think key to what's happening with the Blue Heron is the hotel-motel ordinance that was passed a couple of years ago. And so the grace period has passed. We've had a full year to evaluate the public safety calls for service, and then to plug that into the equation that works for, you know, either the motel. One is tier one or tier two, which has to do with basically the level of problems stemming from there. And part of the issue.
So the type of crime, not the frequency of crime?
No, it's more the frequency. The number of calls for service total is what counts for the ordinance. But they are symbolic, to use the huge word that you used earlier.
I was going to say emblematic, but yeah.
Of the underlying conditions, crime and disorder conditions that are creating the issue in the first place.
So when it gets to that point on the continuum, now has the city taken ownership of the facility? Can you have another fire exercise like we're going to have in Henderson Center? I mean, what happens now?
Not yet with the ownership, but there's a process that is in place specified by law and by the ordinance. Yeah, so and part of the issue is apparently the owner of the motel wasn't paying his licensing fees or whatever fees that the motels are now supposed to pay as part of the ordinance as well. So it's not just the fact that there's a disproportionate number of calls for service at the motel. And then there are. I mean, I don't have the exact numbers, but it's pretty much the worst in town. So that obviously drew the attention, and the ordinance takes effect, and this is just the outcome of that process.
So continuing with a positive thing, what's the next highest?
Well, I don't want to throw the name out there. I'm pretty sure there's several motels that are quaking in their boots, so to speak, watching what's happening with this one, because the bottom line is the owners and managers are on notice. The city's not playing around. People are fed up and tired with the crime and disorder problems associated with these motels. Many of them are in the 101 corridor, if not all of them, through the heart of the city. They're an eyesore. You have to play Frogger with many of the residents and guests just to get through town. And, you know, so something needs to be done. They need to take responsibility for the management of their own properties. And if they won't do that on their own, I think the city is going to assist them.
Are there hotels? Hotels and motels are kind of separate. They're kind of in their own zone. But are there apartment buildings, duplexes, individual, single, freestanding residents that are also these high-frequency visitation locations for you guys, or do they tend to be more in this vein?
Well, no, there's definitely a handful of apartment buildings or converted large Victorians or other buildings that have been converted into multi-residences or apartment living. That would be the same degree of problem. The ordinance specifically addresses what it describes as hotels, motels, based on some criteria they put out. And so that's one of the disputes. Well, I'm not calling. You look at the sign, the Blue Heron, it says not a motel now. So the owner went and painted that to try to make his point, her point, that this isn't a motel, so how can you hold me to the motel ordinance?
Walks like a duck?
Well, and part of the definition has to do, if I recall, the fact that there isn't like kitchens in them and some certain you know, aspects that would qualify location as a motel.
Yeah, I would think the niche is probably pretty well defined. What it is and how it is and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Eureka isn't the only one that's had this kind of an ordinance, though. Does it tend to be pretty successful in most applications?
Well, you know, that's really when I was with the POP unit several years ago, I didn't invent the concept of the motel ordinance. I by no means was the first. I was looking at other communities trying to figure out how they fixed a problem that's common to many, many cities. And saw that that there was some ordinances in place that were very successful, that the cities, the police departments reported a great deal of success with their own version of the ordinance. And so I merely took the concept to the city, and the city ran with it from there, Brian Gerving and his staff, and really did the great lion's share of the work and did a great job putting together a working ordinance that has the potential to make a difference in our city. But they do take time. This isn't overnight.
Yeah, it's amazing how sometimes you watch the grass grow and you wonder if it's ever going to happen. But when it does, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, the city looked at several other jurisdictions.
It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Captain Steve Watson from the Eureka Police Department. Steve, what kind of trends are you seeing? Are we doing better as a community? Are we doing the same as a community? What kind of things are you seeing since some of the stuff in the elections, some of these ordinances are now in place, the shopping carts? I think anybody looking at that, if they know what they're looking at, goes, yeah, boy, has that had some impact. Now we are at the baby stroller brigade instead of the shopping cart convoy. It seems like there's some stuff going on.
Yeah, and again, sometimes it's baby steps, or you just impact those areas that you can control right now. Pulling levers is one way that I've heard it referred to. But, you know, we definitely have a huge problem with the carts loaded down with trash, recyclables. One man's junk is another man's treasure, but it was an eyesore. It was a theft problem, and now you drive through town, and there's far less visible blight that way. I'm always scared to death about the baby carriage things. I'm afraid I'll be driving down Broadway one day, and an unintended cart full of recyclables will roll out in front of me, and I'll have that instant where I wondered if I just ran over a child.
What I'm concerned about, just a quick gut reaction. How many baby strollers have babies in them?
Well,
5%, 10%? I mean, my fear is you're going to see a baby stroller, it's going to be loaded up, and there's going to be a kid in there, and nobody's going to realize it. It just is interesting how things are evolving.
Well, you asked about some of the trends, and, definitely, and give Chief Mills credit, he may be the only local agency head that is freely sharing statistics with the community and doing it proactively out there. I mean, it's very much an evidence-based approach where we want to be able to show through factual information as much as statistics, can be, because there's a lot of factors go into them. But, want to be able to show where we're at and how we're doing in some measurable kind of way. And with AB 109 in 2011 and now Prop 47 on November 5th of 2014, there's some questions out there what the long-term impact of these changes are going to be in our communities. You ask the average cop on the street, they're going to tell you that their perception is there's been an increase in crime and problems. You ask your average citizen, they're probably going to say the same thing. But we do have to be very careful about conflating simple correlation with causation. Prop 47, it's designed to have the savings from shorter incarcerations and fewer incarcerations spill over into drug and alcohol type of programs later on, truancy, and there's a couple of others. Those don't take place until mid-2016. So there's some time involved before we're really going to know, is this a disaster for the state of California or long-term? Is there going to be some improvements? Right now, it looks kind of ugly. I know that L.A. City reported a 7% increase in overall property crime from November to the end of January, so the first 3 months. L.A. County, I think, was 10%. I ran the statistics here in Eureka. It's about 25% increase in overall property crime between November, when Prop 47 took effect and the jails started emptying, and the end of January. We saw a little blip there, though. We had a dip in residential burglaries, but I think part of that's due to the work of some of the officers out there getting some of our most prolific thieves off the street.
25% increase in activity.
Yeah.
That's got to be.
That's
that
total,
balances out any of the positive stuff, I think, because even if it's only one or two screws causing a majority of the problems, and you know, we know you guys have got frequent flyers like everybody else has. Holy Toledo.
Well, here's the question. Is putting more low-level offenders back on the street increase the amount of property crime that we're experiencing? Logic tends to dictate that, yeah, it probably will. The flip side of that is there are more beds available for the most prolific and violent offenders. You know, you all heard the story about the guy with several pounds of meth that got arrested, that got released the same day because the jail was too full. That kind of stuff drives cops crazy and drives citizens crazy. So, you know, we got some beds we can fill now by identifying the worst of the worst, the most prolific offenders, if we work at it. So that's the plus side of things.
Yeah, but if you're seeing a spike of 25%, if that's been employed, obviously it's not working because there must be some guys backfilling behind them.
Well, give us some time. It's only been about 3 months. Now, I am concerned about the number of prolific thieves that are out there that are, you know, getting released on misdemeanors that maybe used to be felonies. You know, Prop 47, now it's $950 is a cutoff for a felony for a lot of property crimes. And simple drug possession is now a misdemeanor versus a felony.
That's the difference between felony and misdemeanor. Does that necessarily trigger get out of jail free?
Well, if it's a straight misdemeanor, nonviolent crime, and there's no other issues going on like probation or parole violations, then often those simple misdemeanors will get released with a court date. And sometimes,
even if there's bed space,
my understanding is yes. I mean, there is a likelihood to continue issue that we can potentially document that sometimes will get them held a little bit longer. But you're definitely facing an uphill battle when you're starting with a simple misdemeanor as opposed to a felony. And, you know, there's all kinds of ripples from Prop 47. Drug treatment programs. What's the incentive for people to involve themselves in these drug treatment programs if now all they're facing is a misdemeanor possession charge? And so, again, an effect that is like a epicenter of a bomb rippling outwards, you know, the long term, I just don't know what that's going to end up doing to the landscape of California.
Steve, does the state recognize that they may have botched it? And, oh my, we're going to have to do some repair legislation or make some adjustments to the language, either of them, whether it was the proposition or whether it was the assembly bill?
AB 109.
That they just kind of went, oh my, and are recognizing it, and now we're trying to backpedal real fast and plug in some of those holes?
I believe AB 109 was supported by the governor, and so in that sense by our government. You know, whether that's being looked at now differently or that ship sailed and it's not coming back to harbor ever, I don't know. Prop 47 was kind of sold to the voters, I think, under false pretense, because you look at the name of that bill that had to do with safe schools, right? Some kind of buzzword that half the people that may not be reading the nitty-gritty details may say, hey, that sounds like a great idea, not realizing the full impact. So that I could see Prop 47 being something that could potentially, with pressure from the voters, maybe being tweaked down the line.
Oh, tweaked.
I'm being diplomatic here.
Okay. I thought it was just a really poor pun. Either way, it works. KINS.
Oh,
yeah, news and information time. Oh, now it just registers with them.
I told you I didn't have my coffee.
Yeah, it's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Steve Watson.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good afternoon, KINS, news and information time. It's 3:47. We're back, final segment this afternoon with Steve Watson. Steve, as you look at some of the different channels that are out there, the different opportunities for people to be bad guys or different opportunities for folks to be good guys, What are you seeing out there? Is the community wanting to get more involved in public safety at all levels, or are we saying, you know, it's just so overwhelming now, I got other stuff I have to focus on?
You know, I'm actually glad you asked that question, because it goes back to one of your previous questions. But, you know, I think what we're really seeing is an increase in the sense of partnership and community between our community and the police department. You know, people want to help. I've had a bunch of people call interested in volunteering at the department. In fact, I just called someone back today that recently retired and wants to give a lot of their time. And you look at some community groups like what they've done with the Jefferson Project, other ones in town. So to me, I'm seeing an upswell in the sense of community and people wanting to become active, neighborhood watches expanding, and people asking, what can we do to help? How can we get involved? And that's exactly what it's going to take, because these issues like homelessness and, you know, the crime problems, they're not just a police department problem. They're a larger community problem. They're a county problem. They're a problem that we're all facing, and any solutions are going to come from teamwork and partnership and not just one entity shouldering the whole burden.
Would you stereotype that it's a source of pride that's driving this, or a desire to take back our community?
Which
is the primary motivator?
Probably more the desire to take back the community. People are frustrated. I think they're starting to recognize that this is a larger issue. They want to know how they can help. You know, there's that sense of ownership. And I think that's critical. That's people come together in times of crisis. And you could argue we're kind of in a time of crisis here.
When do you think it's going to start showing in the trends?
You know, that's
hard to say.
6 months,
a year, year and a half?
Maybe.
Okay.
You know, but I mean, again, we can't control certain things. Like Prop 47 got dropped on us like a dumb bomb. You have, you know, AB 109 that came down the pipe that, you know, wasn't something local law enforcement or state law enforcement chose to have happen to them. And so you just have to work sometimes around the realities that are out there. And, you know, they can throw a wrinkle in the best laid plans.
Now we both have enough wrinkles, so we can testify to that. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Steve Watson. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.